Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time for today's show discussing optimism versus pessimism. So please feel free to participate or just listen. And let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yeah, I don't know if you heard my question to you before we went live. If you did, a simple yes or no, otherwise I'll ask you later.
Oh, no, I don't think I did. No.
Oh, okay.
You'll
have
to
ask
me later.
I'll ask you now. I just don't remember whose turn it is to do the meditation. Do you?
Oh, that question. Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, so I already asked you this question, but let me ask you it on the air. Are you feeling optimistic or pessimistic today?
Oh, I'm a person who has a bit of both.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm always going to be somebody who is driven by optimism, but has pessimism as the brakes in the car.
Ah, I like that metaphor. I'm wondering if there are any true optimists. It seems that, this is just my take on it, but it seems that as humans, we would have a tendency to have both because we are not perfect. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree, and I think there's good reason to feel both ways. In my research, you know, it's often looked as an outlook, a way, a disposition for somebody to either be optimistic or pessimistic. But it's also seen as a philosophy, which is really interesting. And once I've fed my cat his breakfast, I'll be able to read that to you. So I do apologize. I'm walking around doing everything. It's 6 a.m. here in Brisbane, and you can hear him meowing at me. So I've got to get him settled, otherwise I'm not going to be able to continue, and he's just going to annoy me. There he is. He's got his crunchies. He's all happy now.
I've got four cats that are rallying for food, but they're not due for 3 hours. They seem to be trying to push the envelope earlier and earlier every mealtime. And, I'll walk into the hallway where they're congregating, because that's where I feed them. And it's, you know, four tripping hazards. So.
Yeah.
Cats are wonderful.
Sweet and fluffy.
self-serving. On the subject of pets or animals, I think at least my dogs seem to generally be optimists. I don't know if there is such a thing amongst pets, but their disposition seems to be a little bit different than a lot of humans. And optimism refers to a hopeful disposition or general belief that good things will happen. And I think animals are so in the moment that unless something terrible is happening, they just remain optimistic. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
I think that could be something that you could take. But depending on the type of animal, like a prey animal is probably going to be more pessimistic because it's aware that its food It's on the garden. If you think about a gazelle on the Serengeti, that gazelle is always aware, always aware.
Right.
Whereas if
right.
you look at meerkats, they have a sentry who looks out for danger, and then the rest of them just go off and do what they have to do for the day. So I think it depends on the animal and the way that the makeup, the brain, the socialization of the animal. I'm not finding the right biological words here. I'm terribly sorry. I still haven't had my coffee for the morning.
Oh, my God, have it. Make it. Huh. Aren't you a good mama feeding the cats before you have your coffee? Wow. That's a true altruist.
it's also self-preserving. And I don't have someone jumping up on my laptop and annoying me while I'm trying to deal with him. Yeah. Yeah, so I think, on the outside, someone could go, oh, what's this sort of subject? What are you guys on about? But there is a whole philosophy behind this, and some people have written books and done dispositions on it and gotten right into it. And I think that really to have a extreme of optimism or an extreme of pessimism in your life is limiting you. Because when things do happen that are really, really good, if you were pessimistic, you would have some sort of lilt to it about it not happening forever and, you know, what's the definition of happiness anyway, and it'll all go back to some sort of not necessarily negative, but more mundane outcome anyway in life. Whereas an optimist, if you're too optimistic, you're going to end up being shocked when something negative does happen. You're not prepared. Mm. And so I was listening to some YouTube while I was getting ready this morning, and I listened to a guy, and that's where I got the quote from. I do apologize. I don't know the dude's name, but he was saying you need to have both, and I agree with him. And he used the analogy of a car. The optimism drives the car. It's the driver behind the car, and pessimism is the brakes on the car. And you really do have to have it, and especially in this day and age with the totalitarianism that's going on around the world, especially in my country, you have to be aware of what's going on. And if you are aware of things that are going on, well, you're going to create a pessimistic view of that if you're intelligent enough to understand the bigger picture. So that is what it is. What do you think?
Well, that seems to be the case with regard to everything. It is what it is. And it's a matter of just rolling with the punches and going with the flow, as I see it. Here's a question for you, and you know, I cheated because I found this out, and you probably know the answer anyway, but I'll run it by you because it may surprise listeners. And that is, do you think that optimism leads to a longer life or that pessimism does?
Well, that is a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think that having a positive mindset, it is proven that it helps you to have a better life.
Yeah.
Just imagine you have two people who go in at the same time, they're the same age, they go to hospital, they're the same age, the same weight, same problem. They go in major heart surgery, for example. One of them comes out crying, woe is me, oh my goodness, I've had my chest ripped open, how could this happen, sulks and feel sorry for themselves and then thinks everything is going to be bad because they've had heart surgery. The other one comes out and says, all right, well, that was done. Great. That was a bit of maintenance on the machine. I'll come over here and let my body heal. I know it's got its own intelligence. And I'm going to start thinking to the future. I already was before I went into the hospital. I'm not going to die, and I'll heal up pretty fast. The person who thinks they're going to die, the person who is lamenting and carrying on, has weeks and weeks of recovery. The person who is positive, who looks to the future and believes in his own body's intelligence to heal, is out of the hospital in 7 days, fully convalesced in 3 weeks. And I've seen that happen, by the way. So
I believe it.
I believe it. Well, I know it. It's more than belief. I know it. I've seen it happen. A positive mindset changes everything when it comes to your life for the better. So, yeah, does that make sense? I think it does increase your lifespan to have a positive mindset, to be a bit more optimistic.
That would be my guess, too. However, what I've read on the Internet refutes that and says that even though some studies have shown that optimism leads to greater longevity, well, it doesn't refute it, just says other studies have said the exact opposite, that pessimism preserves your health. So go figure. I don't know.
In
it's
what
like
way?
6-1. You know, it doesn't elaborate on that. Other than that, optimists take on more stress than pessimists because of their tendency to see possibility and opportunity. And that doesn't make any sense to me either. But that's what it offers as an explanation. I mean, to me, to see possibility and opportunity is not going to be a stressful thing. To worry about getting eaten up by a lion, that seems stressful to me. I don't know. My answer would have been the same as yours, but it was just interesting that there's some studies that have said the opposite. So who knows? I don't see why they. I don't know. Studies can be flawed. That's all I'll have to say on that. So.
Yeah, I think so. Because you would think the opposite, because it can be quite gloomy to be a person, and you can think of Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Oh dear, everything's going wrong. Oh dear. You know, it is what it is. Everybody's got problems, but if you just mull in those problems all the time and you don't find happiness, you're worse than a wet week and no one wants to be around you. You're going to end up lonely, or you're going to be around other miserable people, one of the two, because misery does like company. But you're
That's
also
right.
going to be around more drama, because people who are negative attract drama.
And that's stressful.
And it's stressful, yeah. Yeah.
That certainly has an impact on
I'd rather be around, I'd rather be around people who think in a positive manner and who are looking to the future but living in the moment. This is one of the reasons I like going to karate, because the people there are really positive. I mean, you're using your body to getting endorphins, but they're positive people. And that means they're not sitting there bitching and whinging and moaning. They're actually up and doing and achieving. But having said that, David, that's all extremes we're talking about. So what if you were a pessimistic person with a pepper of optimism? What would that look like? No, a salt of optimism, I should say.
Ask that question again. I didn't quite catch it.
I said, what if you were a pessimistic person, but you had your mindset was salted with optimism? What would that look like?
Your mindset assaulted by optimism?
Salted.
Well,
optimism is white. Within white magic.
I would find that a very confusing state to be in. And I think that it would make me feel more defensive, that my way was a better way than your way. I don't know. That's my best answer to that question.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? So I know people who are like that.
I mean, I think that negative people tend to be more stuck in their ego. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. They're more stuck in that need to survive, survival mode. But I also think that often, you know, negativity and negative people can come about in different forms.
Yes.
But trying to convert someone to your thinking because that makes you feel better is, I think, part of a pessimistic outlook. And that can be a bit of a problem, especially when nobody really wants to think the way you think and you're pushing it on them.
Well, it seems to me
you're pressing fear, you know?
I was just going to say, it seems to me that optimists might be more accepting of the fact that life is good, and they're going to be the ones that are going to see the glass as half full instead of half empty. And to me, that just seems to make sense in order for me to live a happier life. I don't know. I do know. I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Having been through the ringer myself, coming out the other side, I think that if you think in a mindset that is helpful, and that means that you see things clearly and you're aware of pitfalls and issues that can arise, but you're also in a state of loving yourself, you come out with a much better life experience and a far greater future to look forward to. And that's so important because, do pessimists live in the past, David? Is that something that they do, or an optimist lives in the future? If so, who lives in the present?
Well, I would say an optimist lives for the moment, but also is hopeful about the future. And I think that both optimists and pessimists are possibility thinkers. It's just that the possibilities have different outcomes in their minds.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about, isn't it? So, I don't really know where to go with this one.
I know, I don't either. I'm thinking, wow, we've got 40 minutes left to go. Well, hold on a minute. Let me see if I can remember what last week's topic is. Maybe we can speak on that a little bit if it didn't disappear from the queue. I don't know if you remember what it was supposed to be. Oh, well, the blog talk is not cooperating with me right now. But it was an interesting topic, And I'll find it again, and we can do it for next week. There's nothing that says we have to go a full hour, and we don't have any active listeners. What we were going to talk about last week was recovery from burnout, and maybe we should save that. But I will say this one thing. Yeah, that's another whole subject. But on the other hand, I think that optimism and pessimism would play into that, and that a pessimist might have a harder time recovering from burnout than an optimist, it would seem to me.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think an optimist would be less... Yeah, and I think an optimist would be less likely to suffer from burnout, because I think they might take a little more care. That's a loaded question. I don't know.
I don't know about that, because I think that I pushed and pushed to keep moving forward kept believing that I could deal with what was on my plate until I came to a rolling stop. All manner of energy within me was spent. I think that I at some point I should have turned around and gone, oh, I think I'm going down a dangerous road here. But because I was probably too optimistic and too selfless and too felt the responsibility too keenly, I kept rolling into one nervous breakdown after another and eventually just complete burnout. That is a topic for another day, though, I think.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. Here's one thing. We had talked about this earlier, and it talks here about how optimists are forward-thinking and pessimists tend to think that things are going to turn out worse than they really are. The optimists have a positive view of the future. So, that's kind of thinking in terms of always and never for pessimists, and they view themselves as victims of circumstance. And I sure don't like to be a victim, but I have slipped into that mode in my past, and I generally take a more optimistic stance, and I try to maintain a state of higher vibration by thinking positively. And that seems to bring about things that are more pleasing to me. And when I'm thinking negatively, it tends to attract more of that. And I guess that is what some people might refer to as the law of attraction. But that's another story, too. So I don't know.
No, I agree with that.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely agree with that. Having lived through that myself, but I've found that the more positively I think, the more I attract positive people, and the less BS I have in my life, the more mature-minded people are around me. And mature-minded people tend not to get involved in issues that are ridiculous. And they tend not to, they're not base thinking anymore. They grow. A mature-minded person is a grown-up in whatever capacity they can be at that time. So, you could have a child who's mature-minded. Whereas somebody with an infantile mind will always create drama and always find reason to have sorrow or issues. So then when it comes to the fact that you've got a big issue on your plate, if you're mature-minded, You're not going to go and tell everybody. You're not going to go and create a big drama out of it. You're going to sit and think about how I can find a solution. And you may tell some people, but you're not going to go into a big, you know, flailing of arms, woe is me, crying session constantly. And then find drama after drama to create instead of just dealing with the issue. So, you know, that maturity comes with a level of understanding about what is really going on in the world, what is really going on within you, and where these two things marry. And you've got to feel settled in yourself, don't you?
Yes, yes. And I think that's where personal responsibility comes in, because we can shape our destinies if we are wise and focus on surrounding ourselves with positive influences, including positive people, and letting go of those things that don't serve us well. And that's what I've attempted to do in my more recent life. In the past, especially when I was dealing with the mentally ill population, there was a lot of drama, and I tried not to get sucked into it, but it was difficult to detach from my client's circumstances and not get over-involved and to allow them the dignity of enhancing or ruining their lives, because they're adults, you know, and we all have that choice. And, you know, it is a choice each step of the way, and likewise a learning opportunity. So, you know, the question that I think people need to ask for themselves is this going to serve me well or not? And it doesn't make a lot of sense to choose the negative road, but a lot of people do, and that's their story, that's their life experience. So I don't know if that.
Do you think that they? Sorry, David. Do you think people consciously choose their negative or their positive outlook when, you know, as a kid, going into a young adult?
No.
Do you think it's? So when do we consciously choose it?
I think when we can wake up to the fact that we recognize what's working for us and not working for us. I think as children, we're not necessarily victims, but we haven't developed strong decision-making. We haven't come to recognize that we have choices a lot of the times, because we're told what to do and what not to do. And we are subject to parents who may be positive or may be negative, and that can affect our own perspective on the world. And we haven't gained the wisdom unless we just come from another lifetime and are wise little children. And I don't think that happens to a lot of people. I think it's the road of experience that shapes us and helps wake us up to the possibility thinking and the understanding that being positive will attract more positivity into our lives. And, you know, the opposite is true, too. So, I don't know. That's my take on that.
So why do pessimistic people think that their outlook is seriously the best way to look at things? Do they have positive interactions, yet they remain sort of their worldview as tainted towards, well, everything's a little bit evil, so I've just got to keep my guard? Do they have that?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Do you?
No. I wonder about it, though, because some of the people that you see who are talking about this are academics, and not all academics, but a lot of them will be able to have nice, high-functioning lives with good relationships and kind experiences, you know. So the issue with being highly intelligent is the higher your intelligence, it tends to be that the worse your outlook is, because you're more and more and more aware of what's going on in the world. And the more towards average or low that you are, the more positive your outlook is, because you're less aware of what's going on in the world. So there's this, society thinks that you should be super, super intelligent, but then there's a lot of people who are really, really intelligent who don't do anything with their lives. And I was listening to a guy who was talking about a study that the military did, and they got all these people, rated their IQs, and gave them a situation that they were captured and by an enemy force, and they had to get out of that situation. What would they do? And the higher the intelligence, the more they gave in. They didn't know what to do. The people who had lesser in IQ number were more able to tap into their creativity, and therefore were able to find solutions to get out of there. So I don't believe that being the most intelligent is actually the best. I don't believe being the least is either. But I think that it's interesting when you start looking at things like that, and you start to see studies where they're showing, well, you know what, if you're not extremely intelligent, you're probably more likely to be happy and more creative in your thinking, and therefore you're going to get further in your life. So, you know, it makes me wonder if super high intelligent people end up actually being a little bit crippled in the way that they go forward if they remain in a pessimistic mindset. Should they choose to find a way to balance it with optimism and access that creativity within them, then maybe they'd have a happier life. But this, the epidemic of depression that's going on in the world, maybe that has to do with the fact that humans have higher intelligence than they used to, because we're all more educated than we used to be, so we're therefore more aware of what's going on, and we feel less empowered because we're not out there hunting and gathering and finding ways through. What do you think?
Well, that's more than a mouthful. And I don't know what to say, but along the way you were talking about people that listen to the news a lot, and I was thinking about how important it is to watch what you feed yourself. And so much of the news is pessimistic or negative. There's not a lot of positive reporting. And it seems to me that friends of mine that watch the news all the time tend to be more pessimistic. So I'm careful with what I feed myself. I actually avoided the news for years, and then I recognized that, you know, I needed to stay a little more informed. But I try to take things with a grain of salt and recognize that there's a lot of good that's not reported in the world, and I try to find that in my everyday life and keep the focus on what fills me up instead of what takes me down. And that seems to work pretty well. But this whole concept, and I got a phone call that interrupted some of the flow of what you were saying, so that's what makes it even more difficult for me to respond. But I do think that intelligence can work against a person. I think that it really is, it comes back to being aware of the moment and having a positive outlook, which I don't think is necessarily related to intelligence or being undereducated, if you will. Just because you're undereducated doesn't make you less intelligent either. That's another subject.
No, it certainly doesn't.
No,
because you can have a really, really smart person who's quite aware of the different things that are going on in the world. You know, fishing, where to go fishing, or how to survive, or what they're doing. You need to have intelligence. It wasn't particularly talking about that.
I missed a lot of what you said, and I'm sorry about that. But it's been an interesting discussion, and it's given me some food for thought. I don't know. Hopefully it's given some of our listeners some food for thought, too.
Yes, I hope so. It's for me, and I'm only speaking about my own outlook, I do like to have a positive mindset. I am not perfect, and I do have some pessimism in my outlook, and I think it's necessary because that keeps a reality check, because I like to be grounded and I don't like to be all up in the air. And I think that if you have a 60-40 rule or a 70-30 rule, 70% optimistic, 30% pessimistic, or 60-40 to that, whichever works for you, as long as you're more positive than you are negative, you're going to find more positive people and more positive experiences that come into your life.
Sounds good to me. Shall we move into meditation?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that. Okay, so put your feet flat on the floor, hands on your knees. Face up if you like, your hands face up. Take some deep breaths in and let yourself feel the weight of gravity pulling your chair and pulling your feet and that sense of security it gives you. Feel that sense of security as a warmth in your tummy. And it has a deep, deep need attached to it, that sense of security. It has a need of love. And this feeling of the gravity holding you in the chair is like being held by someone who truly loves you. And so your security in yourself is more and more relaxed. And you feel safe. And you put your mind on to your belly button. And it's a shake or chakra. It's orange. And in there comfortable, and we're not going to unpack them. We're just going to be aware that they're there. And they feel cold. And you're aware of that cold. And if you were to get really involved with that cold, you could feel really cold. That's how strong it is. So we'll keep it in the sacral chakra. And we'll imagine those feelings are a ball. And let's see them as a ball of ice. And now, that sense of security and safety, that nice warm feeling within the solar plexus, begins to come through into the ball of ice, like a hot, warm, hot chocolate in our winter's night. You can feel it going all the way down into your tummy, that warmth, and it melts that ice and all those feelings and thoughts that are unhelpful begin to melt, and they begin to become warm. And as they warm up, they reframe. They change from saying they are something unhelpful to saying they are something we've learned. And they feel comfortable as they change to something you've learned. And that feeling of safety and comfort is now so good. It's so good. And it rises into your heart. And there it takes on a light, like a neon light. The color of safety and comfort is up to you, but that is the color of the light. And through your heart, it transforms into a deep sense of being loved and accepted and understood. And that light washes over your entire being. And when you open your eyes, you feel like you can keep going on. You feel like you can find a way. And you feel positive towards your future. And you're ready to open your eyes.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
Well, I wish you a wonderful week, all of you and Kat, and we shall return next week and talk about recovery from burnout.
Let's do that. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And you can find us on Facebook at The Healing Circle with Abby Clark and Kat Edwards. Please click like. Please get involved with the show. You can leave a comment under the thread of the show, or you can call in. And if you would like to contribute to the conversation by offering a topic, please do so by sending us a message.
All right. Well, have a good day. Good night, everybody. And we'll meet again next week. Goodbye, Kat.
Good night. Goodbye.